We continue with a greeting found in your bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Today I'm going to tell you about a song that's a Polynesian song. And, yes?
What's Polynesian?
They're from a place called Polynesia. I'm not even actually sure. I'll have to look that up. I'll ask Siri about that. But I was told it was a Polynesian song. And it's about paddling a canoe away from the devil. And so there's this other language in the song. And the song goes, Fiua, fiua, hatuna, fiua, fiua, kiwa ho. And that's the whole other words to it. So it starts like this. Sing a little song to Jesus, and you'll be right. Sing a little song to Jesus and you'll be right. Then you paddle your canoe and you go like this. Fiua, fiua, hot tuna. Then the other side. Fiua, fiua, kiwa ho. Sing a little song to Jesus and you'll be right. Think you can do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, stand up. All three of you. And why don't you stand next to the girls? I know, just for a brief moment. Okay, stand behind them. Okay, here we go. Sing a little song to Jesus and you'll be right. Sing a little song to Jesus and you'll be right. And you're paddling. Fiua, fiua, ha tuna. Fiua, fiua, kiwa ho. Sing a little song to Jesus and you'll be right. Hey, not bad. Okay. So then it's pray a little prayer to Jesus and you'll be right. Read a little word to Jesus and you'll be right. And then you can do whatever you want to do a little dance for Jesus. I just turn in circles because I'm not really good at dancing. Okay, here we go. We're going to sing the whole song. Sing a little song for Jesus and you'll be right. Sing a little song for Jesus and you'll be right. Paddle. Fiua, fiua, hot tuna. Fiua, fiua, kiwa ho. Sing a little song for Jesus and you'll be right. Pray a little prayer. Pray a little prayer to Jesus and you'll be right. Pray a little prayer to Jesus and you'll be right. Paddle. Fiua, fiua, hot tuna. Fiua, fiua, kiwa ho. Pray a little prayer to Jesus and you'll be right. Read a little word. Read a little word for Jesus and you'll be right. Read a little word for Jesus and you'll be right. Paddle. Fiua, fiua, hot tuna. Fiua, fiua, kiwa ho. Read a little word for Jesus and you'll be right. Okay, now, anything you want to do the dance. Okay? Just make it really exciting. Okay? Do a little dance for Jesus and you'll be right. I like that. Do a little dance for Jesus and you'll be right. Fiua, fiua, hot tuna. Fiua, fiua, kiwa ho. Do a little dance for Jesus and you'll be right.
You
guys are great dancers, I tell you. That is wonderful. Who would have ever thought that after going through that painstaking song, you could loosen up and do the dance? Okay, go back to your Sunday school if that's you'd like, and thank you for helping me out.
Jesus loves the little children.
They are precious in His sight.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in His ways, and observing His commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and holding fast to Him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land of the Lord, of the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Word of God, word of life. Let us praise Psalm 119 responsively. Happy are they whose way is blameless, who follow the teaching of the Lord. Happy are they who observe your decrees and seek you with all their hearts, who never do any wrong, but always walk in your ways. Lay down your commandments that we should fully keep them. Oh, that my ways were made so direct that I might keep your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame when I regard all your commandments.
I will thank you with a true heart when I have learned your righteous judgments.
I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to the human inclinations? For when one says, "I belong to Paul," and another, "I belong to Apollos," are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. Eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to
you, Lord. Just a word. This is a second half of last week's lesson onto this week's lesson. That's why it's so long. But I'm tying it all together in the sermon, and you'll figure it out. So. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. And when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to the court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. As it was said, whoever divorces his wife, and let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, or yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more that comes from the it comes from the evil one. The gospel of the Lord.
You
may be seated. So Jesus says, don't think that I have come to abolish the law and the commandments or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And then I think Jesus gives an example of exactly that. He talks about two commandments. He talks about thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not commit adultery. And he gives, from those commandments, he gives the what I would consider to be the consequences or the roots of those particular commandments. So he said, you heard it say, you shall not murder, and I say to you that anyone who is angry at someone is liable to judgment. Anyone who insults somebody is liable to the council. And anyone who says to you, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. And then he says something very similar about adultery. He says, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that anyone who looks lustfully upon someone else in their heart has already committed adultery. Hard words. I'm going to help you to understand them a little better in the light of a loving and a caring God. First of all, Jesus is saying that the commandments have roots. That it isn't just a matter of thou shalt not murder. It's also a matter of thou shalt not be angry. Thou shalt not insult somebody else. Thou shalt not call somebody else names. And he's saying that those roots are the ones that, in fruition, bring about the breaking of the commandment. Thou shalt murder. Thou shalt not murder. And then, of course, then there's the whole one of adultery. But he also talks about the root of adultery is this lust. And if you can get rid of the lust, then you're also going to help with the actual commandment itself. Now, I'm in the part of my life where I'm doing weeding. My yard is full of weeds. And that's one thing about San Diego, right? I mean, you get rain in the winter time. It's the only time it gets green, and anything that greens is usually a weed. So I'm there trying to figure out how to get these weeds out of my flower beds and all my shrubbery. And I've sworn off herbicides because Roundup gives you non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And that's exactly what I had 12 years ago. So I really think it could well be I was one of the victims of that herbicide because I used it generously, especially at the church I was at because it had this whole hill full of weeds. And I used that Roundup generously. So I don't weed that way anymore. I do it the good old-fashioned way. I stick my trowels into right next to the stem of the weed, and I push the trowel down about as far as I can go until the weed starts to pop up, and then I grab the weed and pull it out by the root. Now, I could do it the easy way, which means you just scrape off the green part on the top, and that would be a whole lot easier, but the problem with that is it leaves the root. And if you leave the root, that means that the weed is going to grow back that much quicker, and it also means that the next time that root's going to be deeper and harder to get out of the ground. I think the same thing is true with Jesus saying about murder, for example. That being angry, insulting, name-calling, those kinds of things are the roots of breaking that commandment. And therefore, you have to root out the roots in order to deal with the commandment. You can't just kind of boast and say, I've never killed anybody. You know? If you've been angry, if you have had problems with somebody and you've been so angry that you insult them or call them names, you're breaking the commandment according to Jesus. Because that's the root of the commandment. And you have to deal with the root. Now, when I told my wife Debbie last week, I asked permission to tell this little story. I told her I was telling people that Jesus said that if you call somebody a fool, you're liable to the hell of fire. And she said, what if you call them a clown? And I have to admit, that sounds a little better. But I think you're missing the point. It's still a part of the root. It's still a product of that anger, that insult, that part of the life of the root of breaking the commandment, you shall not murder. We don't like the idea that we break the commandment, you shall not murder. We think that's the one that we're pretty safe on. And yet we're not, according to Jesus. Because if we harbor anger in our hearts or resentment or whatever it might be, that we are expressing the root of that commandment and we break it when we harbor those negative feelings. And so that's the second thing that we learn from the commandment that Jesus explains. And that it makes us all lawbreakers. All of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous. No, not one. We all have broken the laws of God. Each one of the commandments, you name it, we can all figure out that we all have somehow failed when it comes to those commandments. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. What he's saying is, the scribes and the Pharisees were self-righteous. They thought they were better than anybody else. They thought they didn't commit any of these commandments, breaking these commandments. And Jesus is saying, you do break these commandments with this anger, with this resentment. And therefore, to be great in the kingdom of heaven means that you're willing to be humbly confessional about your failures and the problems that you have in your life. And anger is a part of that and being insulting and name-calling. I mean, we live in a society where this is really rampant, probably more so than any other time in history. We are so angry all the time, especially in the political vein of things. And as a result, there's a lot of name-calling. There's a lot of insulting going on. And as a result, we are all living in a situation where Jesus says that the consequence of that is the hell of fire. And I want to start make a real big distinction here. I still do not believe God punishes, even though this language sounds punishing. I believe that Jesus is talking about consequences. So on the one hand, we have the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, we have the hell of fire. And I believe both of those begin here in this world. And they're brought to their perfection or their logical conclusions in the life to come. It isn't like you're going to die and be judged and you're going to go one way or the other way. You're already judging yourself by who you are and what you're all about in regards to either the kingdom of heaven or the way of God, the way of the hell of fire. Let me contrast that. On the one hand, we have the kingdom of heaven, which we talked about over the last few weeks, is being vulnerable, being willing to be like a seasoning for others, food like salt, like last week, where salt is something where it doesn't, you don't want it to be salty. You want to lift up the flavors of the other food. It's a servant seasoning. You know, it's cinnamon. You want it to taste like cinnamon. Nutmeg, you want it to taste like nutmeg. Salt, you don't want it to taste salty. You want the salt to have the ability to serve. And the same is true with the kingdom of heaven. As salt of the earth, we serve. We bring out the flavors of others around us. As salt of the earth, we also preserve. We try very hard to make sure that people can take away their fears of a livelihood that is threatening their physical selves. Their hunger, their thirst, their need for shelter. And so therefore the interfaith shelter was my example of that last week. And then also being the light of the world. That is another example of how we share our light, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's a city on a hill that cannot be hid. So it's all the kingdom of heaven. It begins in this world, and it'll be brought to its perfection life to come, but it begins in this world. The same is true with the fires of hell. People who are angry, people who insult others, people who call others names are participating in the fires of hell. And I tell you that the result of people who have that anger and make those kinds of judgments against others is that they're condemning, self-righteous, vindictive, hurting, harming, all those kinds of things. Does not that sound like hell to you? I had a lady last week from our church so upset about so many things going on around her that seemed to be so destructive. And everything that she saw and all the things that she thought was the leadership of our world. And yet there was this destruction going on. The fires of hell were going on. Now, let me tell you a little... Matthew is the great dream person. And I've always told you, I don't dream, so I can't tell you a good story about dreams. I got a good story about dreams. So two nights ago, I was dreaming, and what I dreamt about was that I was in the snow. Of course, I wasn't here. But I uncovered this snow, and underneath the snow was this ugly doll that I thought was an evil doll. And so even though I uncovered the snow, I started recovering the doll, trying to get it back because it was evil. And as I was doing like this, I was attacking Debbie's body. And Debbie said, I thought she said no. And she said, stop. But the fact was that she woke me up. And I needed to be wakened because that was an awful dream. But it was also instructive. As we go around in our life, we think everything is white, pure. But you don't have to get too far below the surface to realize there is evil out there. Lots and lots of evil. And you try to recover it. You hope that it doesn't have to affect your life. You hope you can somehow push it back down and bury it. But it never works that way. It's just impossible to bury the evil things that are a part of this world. Our only redemption is the kingdom of heaven. And so we become vulnerable. We become people who serve. We are people who continue to provide for others. We can continue to be the light of the world. Because this is a world of darkness. And the light of Jesus shines that much brighter because the darkness of the world is that great. Well, let your light shine because the world needs us. As Christians, we need to be a light of love and acceptance and to take away the anger, the name calling, the insults, take away all those things and start to be a light that shines, that people will want to be a part of because they can't take it anymore in this world of fires of hell. Amen.